Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. All right. Glad that you are here this evening. I want to mention now, so you can be thinking about it the whole time, but we are going to have some cake afterwards for Pastor Aaron's birthday. He is 30 today. So he feels himself to be an old man. I'm old enough now where I can say he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, so yeah, he feels 30 years old. Now I feel like, let's see, how many people do I want to offend this evening? I feel like 60 feels like I would be getting older. Is that safe? Is that safe to say? I feel like that would be now, you know, that changes as the years go by. But we're going to be doing that after service. We're going to go up to the Ed building, so please avail yourself to that. And nothing like ice cream. You know, my dad used to always say, doesn't matter how much you eat, ice cream just fills in the cracks, you know, after you eat your dinner. There's always room for that. So that should be available there. The Russells. This is a goodbye for now, huh? even so, come Lord Jesus, right? Yeah, so this is their last service here. They're planning on, as long as the airlines don't change their plans, I think, then Saturday they're headed back to Mexico. And so you make sure to see them tonight and praise the Lord for that. And she's hanging out in the back, but it's good to see Mrs. Hudson back there this evening. So Mrs. Hudson, blessing to have you, and we're praying for you. And so, but there'll be more on that to come. So, all right, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 tonight. Colossians 3. Now, every once in a while, when you go verse by verse, when you're teaching through a book or preaching through sections, it's nice to have opportunity to be able to talk about the Lord and be able to be encouraging and have the Lord just speak to our hearts with great things. I mean, in chapter 3 here, we've been talking about being risen with Christ, of course, and salvation, being in Christ, and then setting our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So the blessing of that and being able to establish our hearts on the Lord and the things of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord. And all those are great things. Of course, we talked about Christ, who is our life, in verse number 4. He is our life, and when he shall appear, then ye also shall appear with him in glory. And to know what he is for us, and to know that he is our life, and in him we can dwell, and we can have peace, and we can have comfort. Sometimes it's a little bit of a rebuke if we're not exactly where we need to be with the Lord, and if he is not the focal point and the center point of our life. But all good things, and often coming down through the scriptures, there's a lot of good things to talk about. Mortifying therefore your members which are upon the earth, putting down the flesh and uplifting the Lord. But inevitably, as you go verse by verse, you run across some things that are not exactly the same. And so we're not going to skip them, but tonight we're getting into mortifying therefore your members which are upon the earth. And the first one we're going to talk about tonight is fornication. Sometimes you get into some things and you're like, we're going to talk about some things of the Lord, and we're going to be encouraged about the Lord tonight. And then other times you're like, tonight we're going to talk about fornication. And it's like, you know, it feels like sometimes you toss it out there and it just goes right over the edge of the pulpit and just clanks on the floor, you know. It's like, yes, this is going to be encouraging. But Bible talks about everything. Bible talks about everything in life. And we should spend the time that the Lord has on it. So tonight we are going to talk about that. We are mortifying therefore your members which are upon the earth. That's this body. And this body is up to no good. We know that the Holy Spirit of God is perfect within us, and that desires us to live for Christ and to live pure and to live holy. And this body wants to do the opposite. This body wants to see what it can get away with, push the envelope and kind of go against the Lord. And Of course, everyone is comfortable with to varying degrees, but what is in us is the same thing. It's to go against the will of God. And so when we talk about mortifying the members and killing those things and putting down the flesh, it talks about those things of the flesh. And the first one here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, it says fornication. Fornication. Now, about 20 times the word stands alone as fornication, and it simply means just what it says, immorality, right? It's the immorality of fornication. Now, sometimes in the scriptures you'll read and there'll be adultery and fornication and they'll be together. So when it's adultery and fornication together, it's making the separation of that immorality between married and unmarried. All right. So still immorality, still sin according to God. But when it's separate, it's making that distinction. And when it's together as fornication, it can have both of those encompassed in the word for immorality. Now, we can look at the scriptures and we can find this isn't the only time the Bible talks about it. Why? Because we're carnal creatures, and there were some things that Paul said should happen. Listen, fornication is one of the things, if you remember, in Acts, when they were getting together with the Jews and those preaching to the Gentiles, and it was this question of the law and how much of the law should the Gentiles have to keep, when Paul was saying, listen, salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing. Paul was explaining the gospel to the Jews who said, yeah, we understand it's through Christ, but you should keep part of the law in order to be saved. In order to have this testimony of salvation, you need to keep part of the law. And Paul comes along and says, listen, this law specifically of circumcision and of special days and everything else and of these feasts and of the new moons, those things were given specifically to Jews for a reason, and we haven't kept those. That's what the Jews were saying to each other. We haven't been perfect in that. Why are we going to put this on the Gentiles who are getting saved by putting their faith in Christ? And so they get together and they say, okay, we're going to come up with these few things. And if the Gentiles who get saved, if they just don't do these things, then that's good. And those things that were chosen were things that were going to set those Gentile believers apart from the unbelievers, all right? And that was a big change for the Jews. When the Jews no longer kept the Sabbath day, those that were saved and born again, that was a big deal. Why? Because the Jews kept, that's what they did. They kept the Sabbath day, whether they were righteous or not, it was part of their heritage to keep that day and to keep some of the things of the law. Circumcision was a big deal. It set them apart as their heritages. We're Jews, why? We're part of the circumcision. And so they laid out these laws and they laid out these things. Don't worship idols. Don't eat anything that's been offered to idols. Don't mess around with blood, right? When you kill animals and eating and stuff like that, don't mess around with that. And abstain from fornication. And when the Gentiles simply started to do that, they stopped serving idols and served the living God. They abstained from fornication because of the sin that it was, then the other Gentiles went, what's up with them? Why are they so different? And so when Paul goes and writes to these Gentile churches and says, hey, fornication, this is the thing. Like, stay away from it. And he starts talking about that. What does it do? It separates us from the rest of the world. Especially now. Say, what do you mean, especially now? Well, as the decades continue to go by, more and more immorality is normalized. More and more immorality is no big deal whatsoever. It's promoted. It's promoted. It is something that is championed. It is good. It's a good thing in the eyes of the world, but not in the eyes of God. And so for a Christian, for you and I, we should put the same emphasis on it that God does. And so look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, let's start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, 1 Thessalonians 4:1, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. I mean, this is an easy one. People say, oh, I just wish I knew what the will of God was. Well, there's some verses that tell you, like this one. For this is the will of God. Well, I just wish I knew what God wanted. For this is the will of God. That's what it's, I mean, I can't, no new version makes this any clearer. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that's being set apart unto God, that ye should abstain from fornication. That's what it says, very plainly. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Again, verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. It's what it says. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. In context here of 1 Thessalonians 4, Ephesians 5. Verse number 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. It says this shouldn't even... People that know you're a Christian shouldn't even put this in the same context of you and your life. That's what Paul's saying. These things should be so far separated from you as a Christian. Let not it be once named among you as becometh saints. These things should be put away and put aside for those things. Why? Because it says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Well, what's the vessel? All right, well, our Bible explains it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. In Thessalonians, he says, for this is the will of God, abstain from fornication. All right, abstain from it. Why? So that you, because you need to know how to have your vessel in sanctification and honor. You need to know how to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse number 7, the Bible says, let's get back up to 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure of salvation in Christ, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He says, this treasure that we have, salvation, this light that God has given us in Christ, this treasure, we have it in earthen vessels. All right, look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. 2 Timothy 2, 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. So that vessel is us. We're a vessel. We're a vessel of the Lord, and he has put Christ in you, the Holy Spirit of God in you once you get saved. And once you're born again and your faith is in Christ and him alone, we're a vessel, and we're supposed to keep ourselves from sin, and we're to be a vessel unto honor for the Lord. That's what we're to be. And so Thessalonians says, you should know how to possess this vessel. Let me get the right, make sure I'm saying the right words. that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, being set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what is that? It's having some temperance. It's controlling ourselves. It's having some discipline in our lives. That's what it is. It's having some discipline. And it's saying, I'm not just going to live my life for the flesh and do whatever the flesh wants and excuse it. I'm going to have some discipline. I'm going to know how to possess the vessel in sanctification and honor unto the Lord. Look in 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. We'll start reading in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13. Paul talking to another church. So far, we've been in Thessalonians, we've been in Ephesians and Corinthians, 2 Corinthians and 2 Timothy, and now we're here in 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 13, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. We're going to eat, and that's for our belly, and that's for the flesh, but both of those are going to go away. The meat's for the belly, and the belly for meats, and that's how it operates, and we eat because we enjoy it. We eat to live. He said, but that's going to go away. So don't worry about that. It says, now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Why? Because this thing of fornication is the act of fornication, all right? The act of a woman and a man joining themselves together is of God, set apart for marriage. The Bible says in Hebrews that the marriage bed's undefiled. But outside of how God established it, it is against God. And so when a man and a woman join together, God puts that together for a marriage, and there's something different there than just lying or covetousness or jealousy or rebellion. There's something different there. Why? Because God put a special blessing on that for a special purpose to say two are going to become one. That's why he says here that when a man joins with God, they're one spirit. But it's the same concept because he says in Ephesians chapter 5, he says the same likeness of Christ and the church is the likeness of a husband and a wife. They're for each other. And so he talks about fornication here, and it says, sinneth against his own body. Verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They're both God's. You've been bought with a price. And so it's reasonable, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it's reasonable that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Turn there. I want you to believe me. I want you to see it. See it with your eyes. Preachers can say anything. That's why we like to turn to the scriptures. That's why we like to quote the scriptures, because it keeps us from just saying anything. The scriptures are supposed to keep the preacher in check. According to this, we don't get to just make stuff up. Romans 12, 1. We don't get to just make stuff up as a preacher. We're supposed to be confined by the scriptures. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, brethren. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And then he says, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable when it says abstain from fornication. That's not an unreasonable request. The world thinks it is. But that's because the world's acting on animal principles and not godly principles. And so God has it all figured out. All right? God knows exactly what it is. Well, you know, we as humans, we all have urges. I understand. And God has it perfectly established for that to be right and pure and holy. How? Inside of marriage. Outside of marriage, stop it. Outside of marriage, flee. Don't even think about it. Flee fornication. That's what it says. That means get away as far as you can. Don't run away. Run away from it. To flee it. To get out of there. Why? Because it's reasonable. God has established, he has it perfectly figured out. It's reasonable. Why? Because fornication is a work of the flesh. And you know what happens when you live right and do right and stay away from all that garbage? Is people say, huh, that's different. That's different. I want to stay pure until I get married. Whoa, that's weird. Right? That's what the world's going to say. That's weird. Yeah, okay. It's Bible. It's having some discipline. And according to scriptures in Colossians chapter 3, we're supposed to mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication. That's the first one. All right? Doesn't get easier from here, so just bear with me, all right? Just bear with me tonight. I want to get through these so we can get off the heavy topic. It needs to be said. I'm not apologizing for saying it. It's just that it needs to be said. Uncleanness. All right? I mean, who would have thought as a preacher you'd be like, man, thank goodness we're going to finally get to evil concupiscence, you know? Who would have thought, whew! That's not that much better anyway, but maybe once we get to covetousness, I'll really be able to preach to bring this home. Fornication. Uncleanness. All right? Uncleanness. Uncleanness in the scripture is referenced as a few different things when you see it. When it first shows up, I think it's Leviticus something or other. Uncleanness shows up, and it's in reference to that which cometh out of a man. And so an uncleanness as far as we eat, and then it comes, like the Bible says, it comes out in the draught, right? And it's an uncleanness. And it's to be separated, and all the Old Testament law about that. And so there's an uncleanness there, but uncleanness also, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Uncleanness is also associated, connected with immorality. 2 Corinthians 12. All right, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 21, the Bible says this, "And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness," which is lustful, "which they have committed." Again, it's this idea of immorality. And he's saying, hey, when I come to you, I don't want to have to come to you. And I'm trying to write these letters so that you'll repent of these things and get over these things. He's writing to the Corinthian church, which was a carnal church. And they were caught up in this, and they were caught up in things that he says earlier as he writes in his first letter. He says, I have to talk about fornication in a way that's not even, I shouldn't even be talking about this amongst sinners. He said, and I have to bring this up and mention this. And so he's talking to them, and he says, you guys haven't done anything about it. Like, nothing's happening here. And so he says, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. It's connected to immorality. Look in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 24. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. All right, what's the context here? The context is Paul's saying to the church here at Rome in chapter 1, I don't feel so bad. I mean, this is like his introductory chapter to the letter of Romans. And he gets into some stuff here. In Romans chapter 1, he talks about God and the just shall live by faith, and he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In verse 20, he says, for the invisible things of him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He says, the things that God created in this world, we can look around, and the more we study the things that we can see, the more we can see God in his hand. It's not the opposite. See, here's what science does. Well, the more we study, the more we're certain there's not a God. When in reality, the more that you study, the more you see God's hand in it. They now use science to say God doesn't exist, when all the science points to the fact that God does exist. They just replace God with billions of years. That's it. God out, billions of years in, everything is an accident, we're just animals. It's no wonder fornication's a problem. If we're teaching our kids from when they're very young that we're nothing more than smart animals, and that one day we're just going to go back in the dirt, and we're all just here on an accident with no purpose whatsoever, then, yeah, you're going to have a problem with the flesh. Because, man, if I want to do it, let's make it happen. Why not? Who cares? I live for today. All that whole thing. And so here he is. He says, they're without excuse, verse 21. Because that when they knew God... This isn't in ignorance. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This was written a long time ago, by the way. This was written a real long time ago. And yet, boy, it's like right here, 2025. It's right here. And they changed, verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So he says he's given them over to this uncleanness. Why? They reject God. When they come face to face with the reality of God, they reject it. But they don't just reject it once, they keep rejecting it. They reject and reject God and reject God and reject God. At every turn, they turn away from God and reject God. They bring God down to themselves, because we can't elevate ourselves to God. They bring God down to us and make religion into idols and trinkets and things that we bow down and worship and aids to worship and all kinds of other things. They bring God down to that level. I mean, can you imagine taking the creator of the universe and getting out a pocket knife and a piece of wood and carving something and setting it up and being like, this is my God? I mean, can you imagine? It's pitiful. I mean, the Lord makes fun of it in the Old Testament over and over and over again. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have mouths, but they can't speak. They have ears, they can't hear you pray. It's just, you made the God. We're going to worship it. It's foolishness, but it's rejection, 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 rejection of God. And what happens? God gives them over, and so what do? Now they're just living out their own lusts. Just at every turn, no matter how much you can't even come up with it, that's what happens when you just live in lust constantly. And you have no Holy Spirit of God inside of you or anything. You can get to with the Holy Spirit of God, if you live in your lust, you can get to some pretty low places. And it says here that God has given them over to uncleanness. It's connected with that immorality. Look in Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Here it is again, Galatians 5. Now he's writing to the church at Galatia. He's writing to the Romans. He's writing to the Galatian church here. Verse 16, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." The Bible says, you can't put all this together. You can't put the lust of the flesh and carnality together with the Spirit. They don't go together. But that's what Christians try to do. Well, I can just do all these things in the flesh and I love Jesus. He says, these are contrary to one another. Now, here's what he says of the works of the flesh. These are when a person isn't walking in the Spirit and their flesh starts to take over. These are what happens. Verse 18. "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, 19, Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication." See, there they are, separate. Covers all of it. "Uncleanness." There it is again. "Lasciviousness." We just read that in Romans. Here it shows up again. "Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." All right, so what is he saying? He's saying at the very beginning, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. You know what those are? And I saw this somewhere and I wrote it down in my Bible here. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, those are sensual sins. That's what they are. Sensual sins. Now you have idolatry and witchcraft. See the next two? Those are superstitious sins. So you have sensual sins, you have superstitious sins, idolatry, worshiping other gods and setting things up as idols in our heart, or literal idols. Witchcraft is doing what? It's a work of the flesh. Witchcraft is a work of the flesh going around the things of God using other things to accomplish something. Witchcraft. And then lastly, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Those are social sins. Those are between one another. Social sins. Hatred, what is that? That can be towards God, but often it's manifest towards somebody else. Variance, we don't have to get into all these different kind of things here. Emulations, wrath, all these, they're social sins. And so these are the works of the flesh. God doesn't have anything to do with these. They are works of the flesh. And so uncleanness, what is it? It's of the flesh. It's immorality. It's a sensual sin. And then in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5, fornication, uncleanness, it says inordinate affection. Inordinate affection. All right, what is that? Well, we understand that to have affection isn't wrong, because we saw in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your affection on things above. So affection's not wrong. Husbands, your wives probably wish you were a little more affectionate. Having affections aren't wrong. He says inordinate affection. That's the problem. What's inordinate? It's irregular. It's excessive. It's not limited to the rules prescribed. It's outside of normal. It is outside of standard. It is, for us as Christians, certainly would be outside of God's standard. That's inordinate affection. Back to Romans chapter 1. back to Romans 1. Romans 1 and verse number, we were in 24, that's where we read last, that the uncleanness through lust of their own hearts, in verse 24, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. That's why, you know, I haven't been to the gym a lot. Say, I know you knew that already. All right, so I haven't been to the gym a lot, but when you go to the gym, what's the gym look like? You go in there and there's workout equipment of whatever sort, and there's mirrors everywhere. Why? It's to check my form to make sure my back is straight when I'm doing bicep curls. You're not looking at your back. You're looking at your bicep when you're doing bicep curls. Why? Because everyone's infatuated with themselves. And we've changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. And now we do that with, if you haven't noticed, we do that with everything, right? I have a pet, but it's a dog. And by what I mean by it's a dog is it's just a dog. But some people's pet is like super elevated in life. And you're like, wow, okay, that's, you know, it's just a pet, right? Oh, no. It's not. And I'm not, you're allowed to love your pet, all right? I'm not for mistreating animals or doing anything like that. But we all know when things can get a little too far. And you're like, no, that's just a pet. That's just a pet. But now it's the elevation of the creation more than it is of God. And look what it says in verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. What is that? Inordinate affection. That's what it is. It's not natural affection. It's outside of regularity. It's irregular. Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. All right, just this big list. Rejection of God, rejection of God, rejection of God, rejection of God. And what happens? A downward spiral. Well, I'm saved and born again, and God's not... You live after the flesh, you live after the flesh, you live after the flesh. You give the members flesh, 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 flesh. What happens? It's not good. It's a downward spiral. And Colossians says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. Evil concupiscence. It's concupiscence is a lust of carnal things. Unlawful desire of immorality. That's concupiscence. It says it's evil concupiscence. It's just a lust of carnal things constantly. And if we constantly feed the flesh, I say, man, I know what you're thinking, some of you. We are so far outside of the realm of anything that I would even ever think about. Keep feeding the flesh. Just say, I could never, ever in a million years, I hope not. But just feed the flesh and feed the flesh and feed the flesh and feed the flesh. And if you think you could never get to thoughts of some of these things that we're talking about, your opinion of yourself is pretty high. Because in us, boy, our heart is deceitful. And we just keep going down the wrong path and just keep feeding the lust of the flesh constantly, and man, it's a runaway train that you don't want anything to do with. That's why we back way up and we flee. Flee also youthful what? Lusts. Flee it. Get away from it. Run away as fast as possible. That's what Paul tells Timothy to do. Get away from it. Flee. And in doing so, what's it going to do? It's going to save him a lot of problems. It's going to save him a lot of problems. And so those are the works of the flesh. That's why we're to mortify our members and to stay as far away from all this stuff as possible. And when we do that, we can please God and we can put off the flesh and put on the Lord Jesus. And boy, we can walk and please him with our lives. No, our thoughts shouldn't be anywhere near that stuff. But the reality is that our hearts and our minds, left unchecked, can go to these places pretty quick. And we're not to do that as Christians. We're to have our bodies turned over to the Lord and our minds and our hearts and our bodies and say, Lord, well, I want to please you with my life. So, all right, let's go ahead and stop there tonight. We'll stop there this evening so we can take some prayer requests.